RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump's 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum from Canada went into effect at midnight Eastern Time. He had for a time said he would impose a tariff of 50%, but after Ontario threatened surcharges on electricity in response, Trump reversed course. President Trump has promised to dissolve the Education Department. Over 1,300 employees laid off Tuesday evening, a source telling ABC News that most of those let go were from the offices for civil rights and federal student aid. One of the questions ABC's Mary Alice Parks is hearing:
what happens to Pell Grant recipients, and what about school lunches? There's, of course, always a concern that some of these impacts will be felt by, the poorest and most vulnerable Americans first.
It passed the House, but a spending bill to avert a government shutdown is facing uncertainty in the Senate. 60 votes are required for passage in the Senate, so the bill needs support of at least 8 Democrats to make it to Mr. Trump's desk. This is ABC News. Suddenly, Americans are feeling pessimistic about the economy, according to the airlines.
Delta and other airlines say Americans are quickly cutting back their spending on travel. Coming out of the pandemic, travel spending was at record levels, but now Delta is slashing its first quarter earnings and revenue outlook, saying uncertainty over the U.S. economy is negatively impacting demand to travel domestically. Airlines say because of pessimism over the economy and after several recent plane crashes, consumers, companies, and the government have cut back on booking air travel. Alex Stone, ABC News.
West Virginia football coach Rich Rodriguez banning his players from dancing in TikTok videos.
I said everything today is about trying to make everybody individual. It's all about the individual. It's all about the individual. And I said football is one of the last things that was got to be more about the team than the individual. And so I banned dancing on TikTok. I guess I did that.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Baseball, the Brewers with a 9-7 win over the Cubs out in Arizona. Home runs by Jake Bowers, Vinny Capra, Reese Hoskins. Right-hander Brandon Woodruff pitched against a Padres minor league team, gave up 3 runs in 3 innings in his first appearance since having shoulder surgery 17 months ago.
The changeup's got a long way to go, but all the other stuff is pretty much right where I want it.
NFL defensive back Eric Stokes is leaving the Packers, the former first-round pick signing a 1-year deal with the Raiders worth $4 million. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 115-114 in Indy. Giannis missing a game-winning shot at the buzzer. And the Bucks mourning the loss of former player and part owner Junior Bridgman, who died after suffering a heart attack at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville.
I mean, when you think about it, he is the exact model that the league should use every day when they're talking to our young players. So, tough day. Just really a tough day.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Robert Redford has come out of retirement to make his first acting appearance in 6 years. The 88-year-old will appear on an episode of AMC in Dark Winds. Redford is also an executive producer, along with Game of Thrones producer George R.R. Martin. Redford will appear on episode 1 of season 3, which will air this coming Sunday night. Redford requested his scenes be shot on a closed set due to his insistence on appearing in his altogether. The show Dark Winds is set in the 1970s and follows a Navajo police unit. The show's director, Chris Ayer, says Redford's fellow executive producer, George R.R. Martin, will also have a cameo in the first episode of season three. He added that the season three executive producer cameos were part of the plan since season one. He also admitted that despite Redford being a phenomenal and supportive producer, the idea of directing the legendary actor really freaked him out. New episodes of Dark Winds drop on AMC Sunday nights. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a few scattered clouds here the overnight with light winds, temperatures dropping to the lower 30s. On your Wednesday, mostly sunny skies around. Light winds will continue with highs of the upper 50s. We'll see mid-60s on Thursday. Currently 29 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio will be along to talk about the Protecting Justice for All conference, which will air on Civic Media, along with Trevi Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy hour coming your way today after 11:30. We're going to lighten things up a little bit for the segment we call our Audio Sorbet. Chance to take a breath.
We can all get together on that.
We want to know, what's the most you ever paid for a concert ticket?
Yeah.
And was it worth it?
That's a good follow-up.
And was it worth it?
Yep.
There's an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that kind of relates to this about the price of concert tickets today. But what was the most you ever paid for a concert ticket? Think about that. And then join us after the 11:30 news. We will wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Wild and Woolly edition. Stay tuned for that. Just a reminder as well, download the Civic Media app. I forgot to mention this when Todd Albaugh was here. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to have another contest statewide.
What?
A statewide text to win contest coming up in just a couple of weeks. I have heard rumors.
You've heard the little Civic Media birdies sing?
Singing that there's a contest coming. And if that happens, you will need the Civic Media app in order to take part. It is completely free.
Yes.
Go to wherever you get your apps, download the Civic Media app, and it's really great. You can call and text directly to whatever show you're listening to right from the app. You can listen to all of our shows all across the state.
I am hoping that someone takes their phone, downloads the app, and they happen to be an astronaut. I've said this before, and we got New Zealand.
We did get New Zealand.
We got New Zealand, folks.
Yep.
I want to see someone take us to the International Space
Station. Go to space. Sue from Franklin texting in, I love the app. I'm listening in from Punta Cana. Clear as a bell.
There you go.
That being said, I have to turn it off now because I'm going to the pool bar. Fine.
Gracias.
Thanks for sharing that. No, that's great. Download the Civic Media app. And help us beat Todd Albaugh, and I've decided to call them his Albots.
Oh, wow.
Huh? What do you think? What do you think?
I like that. So what are your
Well, we'll have to work on that. But yes, he has consistently beaten us in totals.
Consistently, but he hasn't destroyed us.
We have not been destroyed.
We always put up a fair and fantastic fight.
We do.
With our matinerts.
Yeah.
I'll keep trying.
Mull on that. Mull on that for a little bit. I wanted to start off, though, and this is something that we have talked about briefly in the past. Is empathy a sin? Is empathy a sin?
I mean,
855-752-4842. Is empathy a sin? Elon Musk, co-president, said just recently that the fundamental weakness of Western civilization is empathy. What do you think about that? Is empathy a weakness of Western civilization? And it's interesting because this is something that the Christian far right has really embraced. If you know David French, who is a writer who's been around for a long time and a very staunch defender of religion, and a very religious man, from what I understand. But last month, he had an opinion piece in the New York Times. Behold the strange spectacle of Christians against empathy. There are several people on the outer circle of the Trump administration associated with Project 2025, which is now being instituted by the Trump administration, who say that empathy is a sin and it's a mistake to feel badly for other people. It's misplaced. Is empathy a sin? 855-752-4842, and does it make us weak? Are we weak because we're empathetic?
There is a book that came out last month called The Sin of Empathy, and part of it says, we must get out of from under the progressive gaze. Don't pare down the sharp edges of the truth in order to cater to progressive sensibilities. Instead, assume the center. I don't know what that means. Speak boldly, clearly, courageously, with no muttering and mincing of words. Refuse to be embarrassed by anything the Bible says. Oh, there it is, the Bible.
What?
Okay, so you went to Catholic school, right?
I did.
I went to Catholic school for 12 years. You went to Catholic school for 12 years.
For seven.
Seven. I was an altar boy. I was a youth minister. I did all the things. I've been gotten a bunch of the sacraments. As far as I can remember, the one thing I can always remember from all of my classes, no matter what they were focusing on, was the message of Jesus. And the message of Jesus in the Bible, we're talking about the Bible right now, was
love thy neighbor,
treat others how you want to be treated, the golden rule, and just be a good person. Judge not, because that is God's job, not yours. And I'm speaking this clearly and from my chest, whomever this Joe guy is. The fact that we're treating sin or empathy as a sin or that empathy is bad, what are we becoming?
855-752-4842. Co-president Elon Musk says empathy is the weakness of Western civilization, and some far-right Christians say empathy is a sin. What do you think about that? Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. Thanks so much for joining us. What did you what do you want to say about this?
Good morning, folks. Great show. Thank you. On Catholic empathy and all that, my knees were ruined by Blessed Sacrament back when I was a kid for doing penance, kneeling on the marble steps going up to the church on 41st in Oklahoma. Yes. But anyway, empathy. If it was anyone other than Leon Musk, pronouncing this, I think it would hold a little more gravitas. And I'm not giving this guy a pass. Autism is within my family. I have personal experience, including myself. I'm fringe. And empathy and emotions and understanding other people's thoughts and their feelings at the moment are very alien. It's unfortunate, but it's reality. People that are familiar with Asperger's will, you know, whether themselves or their family members will attest to this. And so Elon Musk is the last person to be pronouncing empathy as dead. The Catholic Church, the Christian faith, the Bible thumpers out there, that's anathema to the Bible, to Christian teachings, and not just within Christianity, but all of the religions. So I don't understand how they can get a pass on that. And honestly, Mr. Musk doesn't get a pass either. He should know better. He's in a position with all his organizational skills. He should not be getting a pass for saying something as blatantly upsetting. Is that a term?
I was going to say
upsetting is a good term.
I was going to say stupid, but we'll go with yours.
Thank you so much, Rob. Really, really appreciate you checking in. We're talking about Elon Musk saying essentially that empathy is a weakness of Western civilization. We should be less empathetic. And far-right Christians are embracing the notion that empathy is a sin.
Somebody on the live stream said Elon Musk is not the arbiter of what is a sin. And I don't disagree with that. I don't. If you are a true Christian or Catholic, whatever you are, God is the arbiter of what is sin. But there is a book called The Sin of Empathy, not written by Elon, written by a man who believes that progressive values are destroying the Christian tradition. And therefore, he believes empathy, feeling something, feeling the pain of other people.
Of another
is a bad thing. I still need time to take this in to understand what version of Christianity is.
Well, but we've talked about this before. Those kinds of Christians like the old Smitey God. They're big Old Testament fans.
But you can't.
Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
I know.
That's the guy. That's kind of the thing that they like.
They like that, but I don't think you can trade one in for the other. If you believe in the Old Testament and you are a Christian and you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you've been baptized, it serves up. It's a package deal.
But it was. But he brought a new message, which is why it's the New Testament.
Then
it was a different message than in the Old Testament.
Then are they not Christians? Are they just are they Jewish people then?
Well, one wonders.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Is empathy a sin? Mark from Prairie du Sac on the line. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
This nonsense is straight out of Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand, of course, who said, if people place such things as friendship, family, and family ties above their own productive work, yes, they are immoral. Friendship, family life, and human relationships are not primary in a man's life. A man who places others first above his own creative work is an emotional parasite. And let's remember, Ayn Rand's hero was this guy named William Edward Hickman, and he had this thing where he said, what is good for me is right. Well, William Edward Hickman was a guy who kidnapped a young girl, and supposedly for ransom, but then chopped her up I don't want to go into the details of it because it's just pretty sickening.
But Ian Rand's whole point is what's good for me is good for me, essentially.
And that's utter complete nonsense. I mean, these people that claim to be Christians, and I'm not probably a very good Christian at all, but I certainly believe that, you know, what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount and in Matthew 25.
Jack from Merrimack just texted this in. Inasmuch as ye have done unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate you checking in.
And you were talking about the Old Testament, and I want to quote some scripture as well, because I asked, you know, the question, what does Judaism say about empathy? It says, you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. Exodus 23:9. So it does speak of empathy and love. So this, it's cherry picking. It is of the most, in my opinion, blasphemous kind to take that message and to say, no, we don't like this love thing.
Let's get rid of that one.
We want the punishment and the fire and the brimstone.
And the smiting.
She's smoten.
The smiting. Ross and Gene and Ollie, I see you on the line. We will take you in order when we return. We're up against the clock here. Is empathy a sin? 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. She don't mean no.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Today we are seeing the largest number of humanitarian emergencies since after World War II. We should be expanding our life-saving aid programs, not shutting them down during this time of crisis. I don't care where they come from. They are human beings. We weren't even having this conversation before 7 weeks ago, before Donald Trump took office, before a monster took office.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We've been talking about empathy and whether or not empathy is a sin. Co-president Elon Musk says, yep, the fundamental weakness of Western civilization is empathy. And some far-right Christian groups are embracing this, especially those involved with Project 2025. Mm-hmm. Empathy is a sin, according to them. We should not be empathetic.
Well, you can't be empathetic and also steal away the bodily autonomy of women.
There's
I just would like to put a challenge out to anyone listening or watching who believes this, who agrees with this. Tell us why. Tell us why empathy is a bad thing.
Len from Madison just texted in, empathy can be sinful when it unintentionally or ignorantly allows or permits continued bad behavior that harms others. Okay.
I don't disagree with that. But
I think that's being maybe a little too permissive.
I think that's being, I think empathy, to me, that's not empathy. To me, that's negligent. That's being negligent of the situation. I get where Len is coming from.
I don't
disagree with that. But I think what is more being said here is the idea of empathy and caring and identifying with someone's pain is the problem, instead of just saying, because someone like Elon Musk is not going to identify with your pain as he slashes through our governmental systems, firing thousands of people. He's going to say,
lots of veterans among those people.
Sorry, that's pain you have to go through. Not my problem. Anyways, I got to go gut another. I got to destroy the Department of Education.
855-752-4842. I'm hoping to get everybody in here before we go to the break. Yep. Ross from Crawford County, thank you for your patience. What did you want to say about this?
Hi, Jane, Greg. I heard about this too. It seems kind of weird. I mean, some of us think that Elon Musk is kind of a weirdo, a wealthy weirdo, and these kind of statements seem kind of strange. I mean, I always thought empathy was something that separated us humans from maybe some of our other mammal brothers.
Other primates, yeah.
I'd read about a guy after World War II where this was a psychologist who was, I guess, interviewing the some of the Nazis that were involved with the Nuremberg trials, and he was sort of looking at like how do humans become, quote, so evil and such. And it turned out, I mean, his conclusion was that it was just this genuine, I guess, a genuine incapacity to feel compassion or empathy with their fellow human beings. So, mm-hmm. I mean, here's a guy who's like looking at the face of evil, and it looks like what he's saying is that it's the lack of empathy. And then it doesn't surprise me that guys like Trump and Musk seem to exhibit some of these qualities as well.
Appreciate that, Ross. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the call.
A lack of empathy is a medical condition that's found in sociopaths and psychopaths, and been seen in the mental makeups of many CEOs and high top business people. And so the higher ups in the Nazi party, that doesn't surprise me that they lacked empathy at all.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to join our conversation, Gene from Eau Claire has been waiting. Good morning, Gene. What do you want to check in about this?
Well, I want to say that, narcissistic personality disorder, diagnostic criteria, I have the book in front of me. One of the diagnostic criteria is lack of empathy. Another thing, let's add, because it's not, with other diagnosis, grandiose sense of importance, exaggerates achievements, sense of entitlement, unreasonable expectations, constant attention, needs constant attention and admirations, keep fishing for compliments, those types of things, but definitely lack of empathy. Everybody beware. Seems to be a personality trait in a lot of people who are running our government. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gene.
Thanks, Gene. Really appreciate it. Ollie from the Northwoods, you are up next checking in. Is empathy a sin, Ollie?
Well, I love Gene's assessment. I think it's spot on for a lot of people who are running our government into the ground. And I just want to say, going back to the Bible, if it wasn't for empathy, what would the Good Samaritan have done when he found the man along this roadside? Mm-hmm. And Jesus talked about suffer not the little children. He had empathy. If that was a sin, no. I don't believe that empathy is a sin. God says you have the right to choose. I put good and bad before you, and I choose good.
I appreciate
Thank
that,
you,
Ollie. Thank you so much. And I know I'm rushing through everybody, but I really do want to get you on before we go to break. Peggy from Brooklyn, you're going to be having the last word here. Peggy, what do you want to say about this?
So, to be perfectly honest, I have been chewed on by the far right and the far left because I sit in the middle. There is no way in hell this is going to be solved until the far right people have gone so low, which they're dragging us with them, and then they're going to see that Trump has no empathy. That's all I have to say. Period.
Thanks, Peggy. Appreciate it.
I think they already know it, but they just don't want to admit it.
By the way, if you're a Protestant, according to one of our live streamers, you're a heretic. So I don't know. You might want to just take that and
I'm a Sagittarius.
Do that with what it's worth. Brian from Milwaukee, if you can squeak it in real quick, thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Yeah, no, empathy is definitely something that, you either have or you don't. I worked in healthcare for years, and I was going through a training session at one of the pharmacies I worked in. They tried to teach a video on empathy, and I just busted out laughing, not knowing that the district manager was there. And he's like, "What's so funny?" And I said, "You guys are trying to teach empathy. Either you care or you don't.
You cannot make someone feel for another person." I agree with you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate that. Thank you, everybody, for checking in on this. This is not going to be going away. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about this.
And Christians, be on the lookout.
And again, Protestants, bad news.
Oh,
you're
man,
all heretics.
Y'all
sorry
suck.
About that. News coming up next, and then we will lighten it up.
Ooh.
Join us on the other side. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump's 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum from Canada went into effect at midnight Eastern time. He had for a time said he would impose a tariff of 50%. But after Ontario threatened surcharges on electricity in response, Trump reversed course. President Trump has promised to dissolve the Education Department. Over 1,300 employees laid off Tuesday evening, a source telling ABC News that most of those let go were from the offices for civil rights and federal student aid. One of the questions ABC's Mary Alice Parks is hearing.
What happens to Pell Grant recipients, and what about school lunches? There's, of course, always a concern that some of these impacts will be felt by, the poorest and most vulnerable Americans first.
It passed the House, but a spending bill to avert a government shutdown is facing uncertainty in the Senate. 60 votes are required for passage in the Senate, so the bill needs support of at least 8 Democrats to make it to Mr. Trump's desk. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Baseball, the Brewers with a 9-7 win over the Cubs out in Arizona. Home runs by Jake Bowers, Vinny Capra, Reese Hoskins. Right-hander Brandon Woodruff pitched against a Padres minor league team, gave up 3 runs in 3 innings in his first appearance since having shoulder surgery 17 months ago.
The changeup's got a long way to go, but all the other stuff is pretty much right where I want it.
NFL defensive back Eric Stokes is leaving the Packers, the former first-round pick signing a 1-year deal with the Raiders worth $4 million. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 115-114 in Indy. Giannis missing a game-winning shot at the buzzer. And the Bucks mourning the loss of former player and part owner Junior Bridgman, who died after suffering a heart attack at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville.
I mean, when you think about it, he is the exact model that the league should use every day when they're talking to our young players. So, tough day. Just really a tough day.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Duchess of Sussex, also known as Meghan Markle, has taken a lot of verbal and tabloid abuse for her show, I Really Wish I Was Martha Stewart, a.k.a. With Love, Meghan. Critics don't like it, and according to Rotten Tomatoes, only 20% of audiences like it. Having said that, the show has been renewed for season 2, and according to the New York Post, the crew absolutely loves her and said she treats everyone wonderfully. Why wouldn't she? She's a duchess with a horrible hit TV show. I can't think of anyone luckier. Mr. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Colin Jost, was roasted on Saturday Night Live during Weekend Update by Lady Gaga's fictional husband, Lord Gaga, played by Mikey Day, who went on and on about how horrible it must be to live with a woman who makes so much more money than her husband. According to the Post, Colin Jost muscles through life with a net worth of just $10 million, and his wife Scarlett Johansson is worth $165 million. Somehow, they managed to make it work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a few scattered clouds here in the overnight with light winds, temperatures dropping to the lower 30s. On your Wednesday, mostly sunny skies around. Light winds will continue with highs in the upper 50s. We'll see mid-60s on Thursday. Currently 29 degrees.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zochiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caltini on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Don't forget, tomorrow night, the Wisconsin Supreme Court election is April 1st, just a couple of weeks away.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, you can join the Protecting Justice for All event. It's happening at the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. In-depth discussions on what is at stake over the Supreme Court race between Brad Schimmel and Susan Crawford, Dan Schaefer, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, and our very own Todd Alba will be hosting that event. You can check out details, register for free if you want to join in person or online. Go to upnorthnewswi.com/supreme. That's upnorthnewswi.com/supreme. We'll put that in our show notes if you want to check that out. That is happening tomorrow night in Madison at the Overture Center. As we always try to do, to take a little breath.
Yes.
For the last half hour of the show, it's like what we like to call a little audio sorbet. Concert tickets.
Yes.
We've all been to concerts. I've been to concerts. You have. Calvin has.
I've been to concerts.
Most of us have. Article today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Piet Levy. Why some music fans feel they're being cheated buying concert tickets, but they may buy them anyway.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting story. Just again, about all the additional fees that get tacked on now when you buy tickets online, which is the only place to get them. I'm old. I can remember standing in line at Gimbel's.
Yes.
Waiting for the tickets to go on sale.
I wanted Eric Clapton tickets and when I was a kid and I had to go to, and they were sold out at that location.
Oh,
you call
you stand in line for an hour and a half and you get up there and they're gone.
And if you're a certain age, you remember the company Ticketron.
Yes.
Two ticket companies, Ticketmaster, Ticketron. Yep. Oh yeah. I remember those days.
But what is the most you ever paid for a concert ticket and was it worth it? 855-752-4842. What's the most you ever shelled out for a concert ticket and was it worth it?
Yeah.
855-752-4842.
I mean, the second part of that article, the title is very important, but may buy anyway, because
you want to see him.
You don't have a choice. Like, unless you just say, I'm not going to go see this artist. You have to. Whether you're going straight to the original dealer, like a Live Nation or a Ticketmaster, or you're going through third party, which makes it sometimes even more. I mean, Jane, there were people, okay, this last weekend, the Laughing Tap, we had shows and our tickets are $22. People were trying to sell tickets to our show for $600.
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding you.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's great. And guess what? I see none of that money. But you don't really have a choice anymore. And now it just sort of has become this thing of tickets are just expensive. Period. Done. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, the days when Pearl Jam was suing Ticketmaster back in the 90s because they didn't want a ticket over $25. Now I'm pretty sure it costs $500 to see Pearl Jam. Because I just assume any band of a certain caliber is going to cost at least $150 right there. Like when I wanted to go see Roger Waters, the worst tickets were $175 through the original deal.
And was that behind a pole in the basement?
It certainly wasn't shaking his hand after the show saying, I love your music. It was, yeah, I mean, fans feel like, we've been feeling like they've been cheated for years, but there's no getting around it.
Yeah, you have no choice if you want to see them. What was the most you ever shelled out for a concert ticket?
Whoa.
And was it worth the experience? I haven't been to a concert in a long time, but the most expensive tickets I ever paid, I want to say, were for Bette Midler's Farewell Tour.
Yeah.
This is more than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And at that time, I shelled out like $195, which at that time was a lot of money.
Was it third party or was it through the venue?
I don't remember. Okay. I don't remember. But it was a great show. She was fantastic. But it still stung.
Yes. Because when you pay $150, $200, in your mind, you want a $150 to $200 experience. And let's face it, you're going to get the performance that you get. If they're having a bum night, they might not be the best concert. Not to mention, you're paying for parking, maybe a babysitter, drinks, souvenirs, things like that. That ends up being a $500 night.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
Brian from Milwaukee texting in, $120 for Yanni. Definitely worth it. World renowned. Only comes to Milwaukee about 5 years. That was in 2011. That's awesome. Yanni. A name I haven't heard in a long time.
Liz from Saukville, $260 to see Shania Twain at Caesar's Palace. Same amount to see Kiss at the Pfizer. Both definitely worth it. Also, I just want to say really quick, we were talking about before about empathy and whatnot. If you want to listen back to that show, it's great. I just think that Liz from Saukville had the best quote or the best text. To say that empathy is a sin is horse hockey.
You tell it, Liz.
Yes, right.
Tell it like it is. What is the most you ever paid for a concert? And was it worth it?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Join the conversation. Dave, New Berlin. I'm unaware if this counts, but it might be worthy of an honorable mention. I saw Boston 8 times in 6 states in 2003. All-inclusive, airfare, lodging, everything. It set me back around $5,000. Best money I ever spent. Wow. That's dedication.
Some would say that's 7 times too many to see Boston. But, you know, there are people out there who do the same thing for Fish and for...
good heavens. Grateful Deadheads made it a lifestyle.
Absolutely. I like Lisa from Madison saying, hi, Jane and Brian. Hi. We saw U2 at Camp Randall for $50 a ticket. That was probably the Octoon Baby Tour, which was 1991.
I was going to say that had to have been a long time ago.
Well worth the $50. My coworker just saw the Eagles for $400 at the Sphere in Las Vegas, and she said it was well worth it. The Sphere, I know that if I'm going to go see a band at the Sphere, I'm shelling out big bucks.
Just because of the venue and all of that.
But if I'm going to a basketball arena and you're like, hey, do you want to see the bass player from Pink Floyd? That's $175 before fees. Then no, I'm not going. And I guess that's the question, too, I would have is what's your cutoff? Like, what do you like?
You will not pay X amount of dollars. One of the last times that the Eagles went around, which is when Glenn Frey was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had already retired at that point, and then they came back, and the Eagles went out on tour again. And at that point, they were charging like $250 or $300 a ticket, and I wanted to see them so badly, and I refused. I called it the greed tour.
Yeah.
At that point in their career, do they need them that much money anymore?
They don't. But the other thing too is like if you go see a band at an arena or a stadium, the amount of money it takes to put on those shows is crazy insane. But still, you want to ask yourself, how much money do you need at the end of the day?
Well, right. What is the artist cut? They got to be getting a pretty fair chunk of that.
I mean, ask Taylor Swift. She made like $1 billion.
Yes, but Taylor Swift pays her people.
No, she pays her people. I'm just saying, if she was able to get $1 billion off of the tour, imagine how much it costs.
Yeah, so, true. Well, yeah, and again, if you're putting on a big show with lots of dancers and all that stuff and special effects and all that stuff, I understand that. But still, PJ on the live stream, checking all of my past ticket stubs. I don't have the stub, but I remember paying about $100 for the Imagine Dragons show at AmFam Theater, which that's not bad.
That's pretty reasonable.
For that band.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw Metallica, I paid like $150, and I even thought that was a lot of money because that was pre-COVID. That was back in the 2000s, and like I said, you want to get a performance that is equal to what you're paying, but there's no guarantees, and it just ends up being, if it's a bad show, then you're even more disappointed.
Oh, yeah. Zizou, on the live stream in 2017, I paid $250 to see the K-pop group BTS before they got big in America.
Whoa.
That was for early entrance and pit location. They cost way more now. It was totally worth it.
I would imagine nowadays that probably is like a $2,500 ticket.
Wow. Tom from L.A., Foo Fighters, $2,000.
Jeez.
$500 each for 4 tickets, $2,000.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even...
855-752-4842. What's the most you've ever shelled out for a concert ticket, and was it worth it?
My wife Bridget understands this, that if Daft Punk were to ever tour again, it would, for one thing, it would probably be less than 10 dates because they barely tour. But she knows that I'm going to buy a plane ticket, a hotel, and probably max a credit card out to see it. They are the only group that I would pay top dollar ridiculous money to see, because I know that if I take that one chance, I'll probably never get it again because they'll never tour again. And you got to have that one. And to me, that's an experience. Like, I wouldn't pay $5,000 to see Metallica. It's fine. I love them and I've seen them, but that is something for me. I'd be like,
that's your,
yep.
That's the highest of the high.
And I'm not taking anyone either.
And I'm going alone.
Exactly.
855-752-4842. What's the most you've ever shelled out for a concert ticket, and was it worth it? Jeff on the live stream, they don't make money anymore by selling records, so they make it at their concerts.
Yeah, and
that is a good point.
And they're still not making a lot of money on the road either, because now there are so many hands out. That's why there's so many fees. Like, it is not easy to be a quote-unquote, I mean, when we were kids, an artist got famous and they were just millionaires. It was just seemed easy. Now it's, you have to have a plan. Like, you have to be a band like Fish or Goose, someone who tours a lot and makes their money and gets their fans, versus, you know, some, like, I think Fish has sold maybe a few million records being around 40, but they're going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's because of their fan base. It's because of the touring, like the Grateful Dead. That's how they've made their money over the past four decades.
A texter says $200 to see Cher at Fiserv. It was totally worth it. $200 now, that seems like a bargain.
That is absolutely. That sounds like someone was trying to get rid of those tickets, right? Because $200 to see Cher is, I would probably guess $500 to see Cher. That would be my guess to see that show.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Again, this all stems from an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Piet Levy, why some music fans feel they're being cheated buying concert tickets, but they might buy him anyway. Mm-hmm. Again, he interviewed a 56-year-old man. Remember when Stevie Wonder came? Kind of at the last minute. My sister actually went to that show. And it's a very, very interesting story. He grabbed four prime seats at $261 each. But with fees, he ended up paying almost $1,300.
Yep.
And then 3 hours later, he went back to check the ticket page to find out where they were.
Yeah.
And the ones seats right next to the ones he just shelled $261 out were now going for $129. Three hours later.
Oh my God. See, that's the thing is I wanted to go see Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels back in 2020 before the pandemic, and they canceled their tour. By the time the tickets opened, all of the tickets were gone and already, because Ticketmaster now does resell. So on Ticketmaster,
that's not right.
Oh, I agree. Because there were tickets for $4,500. There was no like $50 lawn seat ticket or $200.
None of the nice cheap seats.
Nope. It was all resale, and they were all four digits.
That's a shame.
Yeah. It was like, all right, I guess I'm not going, because I'm not gonna skip a car payment or five to see a band.
Can I take out a loan?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to go see the band.
That's what Ticketmaster should do next. They should have their own loan
Ticketmaster
service.
Ticketmaster loans.
Service.
There you go. Now we've got the answer for that. All right. We are running out of time. When we return, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Wild and Woolly edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisisretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you are watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for participating in the most you ever paid out for a concert ticket and whether or not it was worth it. PJ had a really good comment, too, on the live stream just about the one thing that holds its value when it comes to concerts are concert posters.
Oh, yeah.
And he says that he's got one now that actually is worth about $1,500. So if you're looking to invest in something that might be better than Beanie Babies. Also, if you are looking for a job, say, for example, you were recently fired by the federal government for no good reason, and then they hired you back because, oh my gosh, they found out that you did something critical, and then they offered you your job back, and you've decided, maybe I don't want to do that because I'm not sure that this is the most stable place to be. We have job openings at Civic Media.
That was a long walk.
I know, right? But I got there.
You did.
Go to civicmedia.us, click on the About at the tab at the top, and then go down to Careers. And we've got a bunch of jobs up there, including producers. We're looking for a news director. We're looking for some sales reps. Civic Media is growing. We would love to have you grow with us. Check it out. Our job openings at civicmedia.us/careers. Calvin, it is 11:53. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says... at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Greg found this one from Sky News. Headline reads, scientists trying to bring back the woolly mammoth creates a woolly mouse.
Oh, no, it's coming straight for us.
And it's so shaggy. Biotech company Colossal Biosciences unveiled plans in 2021 to revive the woolly mammoth and later the dodo bird, attracting investors. Of course, the Texas-based biotech company is focused on identifying the key traits of extinct animals with the goal of genetically engineering them into living animals. Alongside bringing back species that went extinct, the company hoping their work can be used with conservation efforts. Other scientists, a little more skeptical. They did edit together 7 genes and mice to create a mouse with long, thick, woolly hair. They have nicknamed it the Colossal Woolly Mouse. We'll include this article in the show notes because there's a side-by-side picture of regular mouse and Colossal Woolly Mouse, who just looks like a mouse with a really bad hair day.
I'm not going to lie. Colossal Woolly Mouse is really cute.
He's pretty cute. But does he not just look like a mouse who his hair went through a blender?
Yeah, it's a mouse, and it's an adorable little mouse. And I want to pet it through the nose.
Yes.
But this is one of the situations where I want to quote comedian Patton Oswalt, where he says, "Science all about shoulda, not coulda."
Did we not watch Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Do we not think about long, just a little further down the line than just getting investors, perhaps?
That's the question I have, Jane. I mean, we have limited time in this segment. What would a woolly mammoth do for society? What are its redeeming traits that would warrant it coming back? I mean, we all love a reboot in this country.
Sure.
But I want to know, in a dodo bird?
Lots of calls for that. I don't know. What are they going to eat?
Yeah.
I'm assuming woolly mammoths ate different things that were available back then that are no longer available.
They're going to eat woolly mice.
The Texas company now plans to genetically modify Asian elements to give them woolly mammoth traits. Not everyone on board with this. Christopher Preston, a wildlife expert at the University of Montana, says you're not actually resurrecting anything. You are not bringing back the ancient past. You might be able to alter the hair pattern of an Asian elephant or adapt it to the cold, but it's not bringing back a woolly mammoth. It is changing an Asian element.
Broke up with you, Dan. She's not coming back, man. You can't recreate her in the aggregate. This isn't weird science.
Yeah, it's not gonna work.
You know what? It's not going to be Elon Musk with a chainsaw. It's going to be a pack of resurrected woolly mammoths
or even worse,
because that's a more embarrassing ending. How did they perish? Tiny little bad hair mice.
They're coming for you,
and they're going to eat your ancient cheeses.
Guys, at this company, watch Jurassic Park. just a thought. It's just a... Yeah, okay. That wraps up today's episode of Calvin.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Coming up on the show tomorrow, Deb Cronmiller is going to be here from the League of Women Voters. We're going to be talking about the April 1st election and why it is super, super important.
Yeah.
Everybody get out to vote. That means you.
Yes.
And Dr. Kristen Lierley will be joining us. We're going to talk about measles, which are making a big comeback. Isn't that great?
Speaking of things that don't need to come back.
Measles, exactly. We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabe 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
From the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate with Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang filling in. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump says he wants to close the Department of Education, and Tuesday night the layoffs began. More than 1,300 workers, half of the workforce.
The majority of funding for schools is done at the local level, but the Department of Education provides funding for some of the poorest school districts, often in really rural parts of the country. There's a big concern right now among teachers that those students will not get funding that they're entitled to.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. The Republican-supported government funding bill to keep the government from shutting down Friday passed in the House Tuesday. It now advances to the Senate. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says he'll adopt a recommendation from the NTSB calling for a ban on helicopter operations near Reagan Airport. This after that deadly mid-air collision between a Black Hawk helicopter and a passenger plane. Billy Joel postponing several concert dates following a recent surgery and upcoming physical therapy. Joel recently falling on stage. This is ABC News. More than 2,000 New York prison guards that were fired for illegally walking off the job.